Of you that are with us by way of internet today, and wherever we may be finding you throughout the body of Christ, may the Lord richly bless you, and it's good to have you with us during this session. This session is coming to you from our Sunday morning gatherings here in Arkansas, and but our gathering together, no matter where on the face of this earth, is in Christ. It's that I want to talk with you about, continue to deal with today, the reality of being in Christ. But we greet you in that reality, no matter where you are at this particular time, we are there as one body in Christ Jesus, no matter where you are found at this particular time upon the face of the earth. You are found there in Him, if indeed Christ dwells in you. So welcome today, and may the Lord richly bless you. Then secondly, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And to some, it's Happy Grandmother's Day. To others, it's Happy Great, Great Grand, just one, Happy Great, Happy Great Grandmother's Day. I don't know, it might be Great, Great. Could be for somebody. Amen. Bless the Lord. Let me just remind you as I began today, mind you that are here, the May CD, of course it's been sitting here for a little while now, you who receive here, who get these CDs, here they are for May, The Inheritance of the Firstborn, Part 1. And many of you with whom we are speaking right now receive these CDs in the mail on a regular monthly basis. And I trust this particular sharing sessions will be a blessing to you, The Inheritance of the Firstborn. Now, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we go there very often if we're talking about being in Christ, because here is really an all-inclusive statement about that reality of being in Christ. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and it's verse 17, let this look at verse 14 through 17. Paul here speaking, obviously, and writing to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole 5th chapter tends to be summed up here in verse 17, tremendous reality with regard to the difference between the earthly house and the heavenly house. That house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That doesn't mean that something is waiting for you somewhere in the sky. The difference, particularly throughout this whole Second Corinthian letter, the real difference is that which is earthly from that which is Christ, that which is the earthly house over and against that which is Christ. Everything of our salvation is that which is Christ. That which Paul is not talking about, the scripture is not about, our salvation is not about heavenly things aside from Christ, but rather that which is in Christ, that which Christ is, and that which through our being in Him, that which He has made unto us, the dwelling place that He has made unto us, the sanctification that He has made unto us, the holiness that He has made unto us, the righteousness that He has made unto us, that which Christ is, that which He is, and that which He is made unto those who are in Him. He is what He is, hon, whether I even accept the fact, the reality, or even believe in any way at all that He even exists. Well, He does exist, and He more than exists. By Him all things do exist. But my point is just this. He is who He is, with or without me. He is who He is, whether I know it or not, whether I admit it or not. Now, I'm always the loser back here on this end of not knowing that, of not admitting that, of not walking in that reality, of not being in Him. Then I'm the loser. But I don't make or break the reality of Christ. I bring nothing to add to Him. And nor do I take anything away from Him by not believing on Him, by not living in Him. Nothing at all. I am there by the grace of God, which is a term that very few of us understand in anything close to its reality. Because we understand all of these terms, applying them to ourselves, never applying them to Christ. Now, if some of you are not in that category, then good for you. But in the general field of Christianity and as a religion, everything is applied to man. I was listening to a preacher this morning. Who was in that category, applying everything to man. All you got to do is ask. And he was reading something, a line of a scripture, a statement made in a context in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, rather. Well, that does come over into Christ, if so be that you are in Christ. If so be that you are in Christ. Whatsoever you may ask in my name, the Lord says. And then there's the last of that verse. You ask and have not, because you ask amidst. The glorious reality of our union with Christ is what we're talking about. And that certainly does open the door to heaven, because Christ himself is the door. Is the door. So our union with Christ is a tremendous thing. And it is from that standpoint that we ask, if we have understanding, and not amidst. Because that verse goes on, satisfied on your own lust. But rather asking concerning the allness of Christ himself. The all things that are gathered together in him. All that he has made unto us. What a tremendous reality that is. So we've been looking at that reality of our being in him, and that which he has made unto us. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked is one of the verses here, but it's actually to be clothed upon. With our house which is from heaven, that house and that clothing which is Christ. Being clothed upon with him, that we not be found naked before God, as Adam was found in the garden, having disobeyed, having sinned, having believed the lie, found naked. But rather that we be found clothed upon with Christ. All of these words, all of these terms have to do with our being in him. Over and over and over, Paul states this in different ways, but always the same thing. In Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3:1, if then ye be risen with Christ, if Christ is your life, and if you are in him, quickened together, Ephesians chapter 2, quickened together, born again, quickened together by the Spirit of life, by life himself, quickened together as his very body, quickened together as the very temple of God made without hands, quickened together. Put together what? By one Spirit, one Spirit dwelling in each who are born from above, because we are born by and of one Spirit, that being the very Spirit of Christ Himself, the very Spirit of God Himself, Christ Himself, dwelling in you, quickened together. And not sometimes later on down the road, not a something that is subsequent to being quickened together, but as a result of it, quickened together, raised together, out from among the dead. Raised together, out from among the dead. Raised out from among the dead. As one body of His resurrection. How are we raised? Because the resurrection dwells in you. The resurrection and the life quickened together. Quickened together. It is by that life quickened together. Being quickened, raised together. Being raised, seated together. Not cast out, not thrown away, seated. All of this is in the end of that verse. In the heaven. In Christ Jesus. For it has pleased God to gather together in one all things, even Christ. Everything of His purpose, everything of His plan, everything of His thought, everything that He has spoken, everything that He has set forth in type and shadow and testimony in the Scripture, everything, for it all points to Christ. But when the fullness of God's time is made manifest in His Son, when all of the things that speak of Him are fulfilled in Him, gathered up, that's where you and I, that's where we exist as a new creation. That's where we exist as a new creation. In Christ. That's where we exist. If any man be in Christ, that glorious relationship, that fixed position, fixed place, that fixed union reality in place, in time, in state of being. This is just that little word that we write down I-N. In the Greek, it's used, it would be E-N. That little bitty word involving everything that is Christ. We in Him. Not only in a position determined of God from before the foundation of the world, but in a reality given of God through our salvation. That which is promised, that which was predicted, that which was ordained, coming to be fulfilled for us, through our union with Him, with Christ. In Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A whole new creation. Wherein there is nothing of the old, no semblance of it, no mention of it, no nothing of it. The whole first order of things, the whole old creation, all of it passed away. It's passed away. Folded up as a garment and put away. Reckoned as non-existent because it is not found in that new creation. Because why? Because the new creation, darling, is once again the person of Christ Himself. No, you see, you can't see that in that fleshly image of Christ, that fleshly body that was prepared for Him for purpose of death. We're talking about the resurrected Son of God. Not bound up to an earthly body. Not born of a woman, but firstborn from among the dead by the resurrection. Now that's the Christ we're talking about. The glory of God. The brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the Word who is in the beginning with God, was God, same in the beginning with God. Yes, this Word made flesh, but we're no longer talking about this Word being made flesh, though He was. And in that body, that body where He was restricted to humanity, that He might gather humanity into Himself and put it once and for all to death. And come forth, raised up out from among the dead, never to go back. But rather to bring those who would call upon Him into a new realm of living, a new reality altogether, because He's not going back. He isn't going to die again. He isn't going back through that anymore. That's done once and for all. And in doing so, He prepared a place for us. He prepared Himself as a dwelling place. The dwelling place that was promised throughout all of these scripture. All of these scripture. Every now and then, I don't know, ever so many months, probably ever so many years, I find myself just put upon by the Lord to just go back through these verses. Right now I'm in the Psalms, and then I'll be in Isaiah and whatever. Because that's where everything that He is made unto us is spoken of. It is demanded of God through the law. But it is promised of God. It is prophesied. There's names stuck onto it like restoration and all of those kind of terms. But Christ is the end of every one of those terms because, hon, the one whole thing is done away. One whole creation, one whole mankind. The promises that were given come to be fulfilled in Christ. The prophecy concerning the one coming to its end comes to be fulfilled in Christ. The eternal splendor that is prophesied, the glory of it, comes to be fulfilled in Christ. Hon, our salvation is Christ. One of these days, boom, maybe, not in our brain, but maybe in our soul, we'll really begin to get a hold of that. And you can't do that. It's not something we do intellectually. Come on. But something in our hearts. that the Spirit of the Lord continues to deal with us. See, He's the one that has brought us there. He's the one that deals with us there. He is the one that opens the eyes of our understanding to being there. He does that to those that will set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you, as to all of that, and any of it, for you are dead. Why look? I remember Jesus saying there at the tomb, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And then He says something else that a lot of times we miss because we get pronouns all messed up. But what He says after that statement is, He is not here. Who is the living? Yes, that's true. Everything of the living is summed up in Him. If we're among the living, it's because He lives in you. Otherwise, you're among the dead. That's just a fact, hon. That's just a fact. And when Christ calls us out from among the dead, that's exactly what it means. He calls us out from among that which is not He Himself, that which is not living by He Himself. We're called out from the one thing, from death and the whole creation of it, into the living. And that doesn't mean among a bunch of people, though there are many who are living, but the many who are living are all one. They're all one. Because they're only living in one, only living by one, and the living one lives in them. It's Him, darling. It's Him. Our whole salvation is Him. It's Him. It's not a God that is off somewhere watching you. Oh, Lord, I hate that song. Watching you. He lives in you. Or you and I have no life. He's the living, see? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. So then the dead that will hear His voice and obey and come to Him and receive Him and believe upon Him, all of those things are said by Him, shall live. For in that I live, ye shall live also. It's our union with Christ, darling. Now, let me show you something. Because I thought about it this morning. The dead. This is simple. We use this, but I want to make a point. The living. Well, this is Christ. You understand that. Being in Christ, right? And we know that not just the dividing factor, but the taking away of the one and leaving the other remaining. I mean, it's not just seeing the difference. It is this being done away. It is not found here in Christ. There's not two creations in Him. There's one. And He is everything of the new creation. He is everything of it, darling. He's the glory of it, the light of it, the life of it, on and on and on. He's the richness of it. He's the allness of it. We could write books and fill up the world and never exhaust. Never exhaust. Using all the languages of the world, never exhaust who He is. And not just who He is, but who He... See, here's the thrill of it. I mean, God in heaven, here's the thrill of it. He is who He is, and all that He is that to everyone, every believer, every soul that is in union with Him. For of God are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us. Not who is made to them, who is made unto us. I saw where I said somewhere about 15 years ago, looking back at an old manual or an old book. And I mentioned there, I was reading it and I just saw there where I said, the whole world, you know, you hear everybody in the world, we're all God's children. And I went on to saying that, not unless you're born of God's seed, you're not. You are the children of the devil. I don't know where I was when I said that. But the point is, we hear that all, we're just all God's children. And people say that they don't even believe in God. No, it has to do with the seed of God. The seed of God. It has to do with Christ in you, hon. Now, as a fact, if Christ dwells in you, then you're the children of God. More than that word children could imply, you are. For Christ is made unto you all that He is. Now obviously when I say that, that is very much accepting His deity, because you try to make something other than Him to be deity, then nothing else matters anyway. He is the only one having immortality. He is the life of all who live. And you take that away from Him, nobody lives. So no, we're not talking about you and I becoming deity. But the one who is our life, the eternal Son of God. And honey, this is why I have to say again, grace, grace, grace. See, when you begin to think about that and you begin to see it, and then you begin to realize by the Spirit of God, this one is in you. Now there's grace. I mean, see, that's more than something just tied to sin. It is true. Sin's gone. Sin's forgiven. Yeah, right along with the sinner, you are dead. Grace, grace, that's true. But grace continues. See, grace is measured by the measure of the fullness of Christ. Sin abounds, grace does much more abound. This one appears in us without sin. salvation without sin. Come on, darling. We're talking about not something that's for my lifetime, your lifetime. That's where you step in all of the horse pucky and all of the other stuff. There's got to be a salvation of my soul that goes beyond the living of my body. And there is. And Christ is that. Salvation. And you begin to think of all that salvation is of Christ made unto you. There then, now, there's the grace of God. Because God could have. I mean, nothing's impossible with God if he just wanted a bunch of forgiven people. You know, let me make a man and see how long it takes him to sin, and then I'll figure out a way to make him better, and I'll do this and I'll do that, and then I'll have me a bunch of good people. It just goes on. It is stupid. Salvation is not me being a better person. The end of it isn't. Not really. That's not what it's really about. The best person that there, I mean, come on, darling. You can look at Nicodemus in the Bible. You can just keep looking in the Bible as for, by earthly standards, best. It doesn't, it's not who's best. It's who has Christ and who doesn't have Christ. Because Christ is the better than the best. Come on. You hear what I'm trying to say, I'm sure. And that doesn't take away from anything of the transforming and from living that life which is Christ. But I'm just telling you, it's not based upon. If it was based upon the best, then the law could give you life. But it cannot. Because the law, by intent, by the spirit even of the law, is pointing to the best. To the only righteousness, the only holiness. That's why by keeping the law, no man can please God. Because it's pointing beyond all of that. And Christ is the end. Isn't it interesting? We know he's the end of the law, but where it's written, it says the end of the law for righteousness. Yes, he is. That the righteousness which the law always talks about and points to and is demanding might be fulfilled in us. Yes, but not by us. Christ made unto you. And Paul says, that life that is Christ governs everything, every thought, everything that I do. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Salvation is not me doing what I want to do, regardless. Salvation is me dead and Christ living in me. And it goes on to be a work of the Spirit whereby you and I learn Christ. Yeah, learn. Not as an academic subject, but in the ways that the Spirit of the Lord deals with us. And opening the eyes of our understanding that we may see the magnificence of the one who dwells in us, whose glory makes everything else non-glorious. And when I stand in his presence, or you stand in his presence in an acknowledgeable way, a way that the Spirit of the Lord has made real to us, there's no danger of me glorying there or you glorying there either. because it is the Lord's glory. It is seeing Him. And the magnificence of Christ and the allness of Christ causes my soul to cry out with joy. It is not I, it is Christ. It is not I. Oh, thank God, it is not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. Herein is the grace of God. Here, this can't, my mind can't even go there, except to have some smidgen of an understanding that our salvation is about the Father having a creation the measure of which is the Son Himself. A creation wherein the Son is exalted. Well, that's what we've come to in Christ, hon. That's what we've come to in Christ. And I think that there is a cry in every soul for that reality. I really do. Because every soul is created of God for that reality. Now, that doesn't mean that every soul has come to that reality or that every soul will come to that reality. And by that I mean be born from above. Enter into that reality. But there's a cry there in that soul. Now, I'm not going to sit here and exhaust the rest of the few minutes I have left with all of the ways and means that that is covered up and substituted for and tried to be found in the flesh. But it all has to do with that soul. It has to do with the soul. It doesn't have to do with, not really with the brain, though the brain gets involved in it all, as far as the sight and sound and seeing and all of that. But the soul. And I think that the Spirit of God continually draws and continually deals with souls. Jesus says, "No man can come unto me except he be drawn by the Father." And that's right where he's saying, "And he that cometh unto me, I will raise up in the last day." And there he's talking about the last day of the Jewish kingdom. He's talking about the cross and his resurrection. That's what he's talking about. They will live by me. If you read the rest of that chapter, you find they that eat my flesh and drink my blood live by me. And as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by him, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. He's talking about having Christ as our very life and being raised up. And so the Lord deals. I think there's a lot of people being dealt with throughout the whole church system and outside of the church system. But more and more and more fail to hear the truth. They've heard a lot about religion, and so many got religious, many become. We used to say that back in the old days, you know, I mean before my time even, back in the old days, you know, well, they got religion, yeah. Unfortunately, they probably did, but not Christ. And it's that way today. Many have religion. Church and doctrines and all of this, the things that you can do in order to make heaven your home. But you see, heaven, once again, in reality of the Scripture, in reality of the testimony, in reality of the Scripture, heaven, hon, is found in Christ Himself and in our union with He Himself. The Spirit of God draws to Christ Himself. And yet there's so many that are detoured. By either preaching something that it just simply is not the truth, or by just not presenting that which is the truth. Now all of us have probably experienced that in our own hearts. At some time, the Spirit of the Lord had to deal with me concerning the truth. And everyone who has come to the Lord has been dealt with by the Spirit of the Lord. And if you have been born from above and come to salvation, all of the things that we call it, but if Christ be in you, then everything that we're talking about here this morning is true concerning your salvation. And yet there are many believers who have truly come to Christ in new birth, but have never been confronted with the truth concerning that new birth. I've seen too many people light up when they first hear that. Do you mean Christ is in me? Just from identifying with the truth as it is set forth in the Scripture, coming to realize for years, I've tried to make something work and couldn't figure out why it wouldn't work. One young lady telling us at a particular time, for years, I've been trying to fit Christ into the equation of my life, of my salvation, of me serving the Lord. And all of a sudden I have come to realize that He is the equation. He's the whole equation. It is not I, it is Christ. What a tremendous awakening in our heart and soul that is. Now, hon, the same Spirit that drew that person to the new birth in the first place, to receive Christ in the first place, the same Spirit that drew that person there is the very Spirit that lives in that person now and seeks to show to that soul the reality of our salvation, the reality of our union. So that our salvation doesn't, our idea of it doesn't stop with, okay, now my sins are all washed away, which is something else again. And one day then, you know, I'll make heaven my home. Because our salvation in the heart of God and in the reality of Christ is not a one-day situation. Oh, it's about one day, all right, but the day is in Christ, and He is the light of it. But it's not something that will come at the end of the road. Christ Himself, the author of it, is the finisher of it. The beginning of it is the end of it. If we could just see that, if we could just see that we dwell in Him who is both Alpha and Omega, we dwell in Him. Hallelujah. The end of my salvation is the beginning of it. It's not about looking, really, in my mind, I've said to look back for the beginning, look forward to the end. But in the reality of it, hon, it's not the looking back or the looking forward. It's looking to that which is set before you in the face of Jesus Christ. Because there's where the beginning and the ending of it is. Well, I wanted to this morning just sit down and just speak factually. Here's the fact. Either Christ lives in you or you're dead as a doornail. Here's the fact. You're either in Him or you're among the dead. Those are facts, son. Those are things set forth in the Scriptures. Those are facts. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That is a fact. Doesn't our heart long to just walk in the light of that reality? A word that came to me yesterday up here, in the presence, in the acknowledgement of the presence of that reality. That become a condition of our heart. An acknowledgement of the presence of that reality. See, that's what the whole church world, religious church world, is looking for. The so-called coming again and seeing Him and being in His presence. Well, all of that is wonderful, but He's in you now. You're in Him now. And there's a greater presence than your eyes could ever see. You're looking at, most of you are, I'm sure, looking at me right now. Here I sit. I'm telling you, there's a greater presence than that with Him. He's in you. I'm certainly not. I'm in the same room with you. Little difference. He is in you. Now that's the presence. For which our soul was created of God. And so is it strange that the Holy Spirit of God, who brings us into that place, that dwelling, that would not also in the same way deal with our hearts, opening our eyes to the acknowledgement of that presence? Wherever we are, wherever we are. Maybe it's a good place, maybe at that particular time it's not so good. But whether it's good or bad by the standards of this seeable creation, good or bad, we're there in the acknowledgeable presence of the one in whom we dwell. And the foundation of that, the one who dwells in us, the capstone of that, my being in him, is he in me. He's the reality of it all. He brings it with himself. Why should we want to see anything less than him, anyone less than him, and know anyone other than him, and live in any? Why? Why? The reality of our union with Christ, being in him. And I was thinking this morning, and I'll say this and quit. Now, I put here the dead because that's exactly right. But let me just put here world. And world, I mean by just everything you see every day. People, places, things. People, places, things. Where is it that you dwell? Actually dwell. Where is our life? Where is our state of being? Where is our salvation? Where is it? It's here. It's here in Christ. It's here. A new creation in Christ. That's where it is. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, all right? Because it is Christ himself coming into my soul that brings all of this reality with him. He's the dwelling place of my soul. I mean, he brings it all there so that we set the affections of our heart upon things above. Well, he dwells in us. Things above are in him who dwells in us. That's what he says. You'll know I'm in my Father, you're in me, I'm in you. Honey, that's not three salvations. That is the realization of one salvation. And there he's in you. What a glorious thing. But we have that in earthen vessels. So in an earthen vessel, here you are over here. In an earthen vessel, you're sitting here in this building. Here you are. And there's all kind of things. All just everything. All kind of things. All kind of situations. Good, bad, indifferent, big. Dealing with people, some dealing with places, some dealing with things. Just there it all is. And there you are. Sometimes the one, except you have an understanding of this, sometimes the one, I mean, darling, will just eat you alive. It'll just and swallow you up. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you have. Make any difference. There we are. And what I was thinking about while this man was speaking this morning, I didn't sit and watch that long, but I thought about it a long time. Whatsoever you ask. Whatsoever you ask. Whatsoever you ask. Yeah. to those who live here. But it gets translated by a carnal gospel as being like, here's where we live, just because we have bodies, you know. So whatsoever you ask, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, honey. You can set your heart on most anything you want to here, and if you're willing to work hard enough, or put up with enough, or whatever, you can probably get it, and then you can say, God, give it to me all you want to. But the reality of our asking is here, because this is where you dwell. And to do it in His name is to do it in an understanding of that union. And what is here? Him, the fullness of Him, the fullness that He is, that which He has made unto us, everything. Yes, whatsoever you ask. So I'm not going to spend any more time with that, but that's what I was thinking about, because we apply that. But then it comes to this, and I want to just say this. Well, does that mean that we don't pray about things here? No, it does not. There may be, but I don't think that there is. I know that there's not a week, but it's a lot closer. There's not a day. Now, this is just to you sitting here, but there's not a day that I do not and am not praying for you folks. Sometimes specifically. But every day as a body, as a fellowship, as a ministry. Every day. That's not a big deal on my part. It's just a reality. And then there's times that I'm praying for certain things in your lives, certain things that, some of these things, you know, that have happened to you. Circumstances, situations. Does the Lord hear? Yes, the Lord does hear. Because when I pray, and I think this is true concerning what Paul is talking about. I'm praying concerning things here, situations here, but I'm praying as one who is living here, not there. You understand that? Because this reality is always controlling whatever I am asking for in this realm. And that doesn't always have to be bad things and crisis things. And not really. Be things that have nothing to do with crisis or whatever. It could be anything. But there's a difference, son. Even when I ask for those things, there's a difference. Because I do not ask as one who is living here, who has his life here, and who's reminding God anything I... No. I pray as one who is living here. I ask here, the Lord hears me here. So I'm not telling you that we don't pray concerning things here. Lord, yes, we do. We're surrounded by them. I pray that the Lord will lead me and guide me here, because here's where the leading and the guiding comes. Here. Where? In Christ. But in accordance with that He would direct me here. And by that's just my little terminology. But by that I mean when I get out of bed to going to bed. That the Lord would direct. That He would direct me as one who lives here, remains here. Hallelujah. Though here we are, in the world but not of it, here we are. But I'm not looking here for my direction. I look here for my direction. Because even with this treasure in earthen vessels, we are in Christ in heaven. In a whole nother realm. Have you seen the Lord work here? Well, certainly. Certainly. I'm just trying to tell you without going any further on it, because I do my asking where I know I am. I know I am before Him. That'll give you some direction on what to ask. I ask the one whom I know to be my life. That'll give you some direction on what you're asking. And yet you are at a glorious liberty to come before your Father. But you ask as one whose life is here. And you will see the Lord. Yeah. He who is God over all. And He who knows you here and deals with you here. I just think that there comes a time in our life, hon, when there is a division between where I live and where I'm found on the earth. And I have to tell you again, I'm not necessarily just talking about crisis. It's there if a crisis comes, or something you may call a crisis, whether it is one or not. We live in Christ on earth. And that'll come to the point, hon, it'll direct you in all things. It'll be a government in your life. Every day. Every day. And I only talk about asking and praying because of the guy this morning that was making such a big deal out of it and never brought it into any realm. that had to do with the Lord. And I thought, Mister, you're not only missing the whole mark, you're simply telling these people to pray out of the lust of their own flesh. There's a greater reality to prayer than that. And it doesn't keep you from seeing the hand of God stretched forth right into an earthly situation. But there's something behind that more than the earthly situation. Because God is always looking at something from an eternal viewpoint. And you need to understand that, darling. We need to pray in an understanding of Christ. The Lord will always reach farther into a matter than I ask, because He knows farther. And He will Well, look at Jesus going to Lazarus. I know time's gone, but look at Jesus going to Lazarus. I mean, I could tell you 15 different versions of that, and it'd only be one true one. But see, with Him, it wasn't all about Lazarus being raised up and made to live again. It wasn't all about that. That's what it was all about with everybody there. And His disciples just thought, I don't know what He's doing. First He says He's asleep, and now He says He's dead. And I don't know. And the Lord finally said, this is not unto death. The end of this is that the Son of God be glorified. Now, honey, that's got to be the end of everything you ask from over here. And it doesn't mean that Lazarus was not up out of the grave or whatever it might have been about. But the end of it is that the Son of God be glorified. And if we could just get a hold of that, what an assurance fills your heart, even when you're asking. All right. The Lord bless. Thank you for being with us. You that are with us, if we're still running. Thank you for being with us. May the Lord richly bless you. Remember our June Bible conference, all of us. We've got a lot of work to do that we'll get into during the month of June. We can't do a lot of stuff outside too early, because then we'll have to do it one or two more times anyway. We try to keep ahead of it enough so that it doesn't just swallow us up. But remember, June the 24th through June the 28th, our summer Bible conference, and we talk about that continually and continue to do so, but I do remind all of you about it. Set your thinking there now. Begin to make plans to be with us. I just think it's going to be a great time in fellowship one with another. June the 24th through the 28th. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for you guys who are helping us do what we do. We appreciate it very much. The Lord bless you for it. Amen. Thank you.